It's time for America Outdoors Radio, the show that covers the outdoor scene across the U.S. of A. and the entire continent. Fishing, hunting, conservation, outdoor recreation, and great destinations, we cover it all every week. It's your country, your outdoors. Let's explore it together with your host, John Cruz.
We're coming at you today from Boise, Idaho, home of our newest affiliate, 670 KBOI, and the location of this year's Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Annual Rendezvous. We are busy recording audio from this awesome event that we're going to share with you next week. Now, this rendezvous, it draws a lot of diehard hunters. I'm talking rifle hunters and bow hunters, anglers too, both of the fly fishing variety, and hardware anglers. There's hikers, there's backpackers, and more, and they're all united for a love of enjoying the outdoors and these activities on our vast public lands here in North America, and every person here is willing to protect those public lands as well. For those of you in Boise or close to it tuning in early Saturday morning, come on down to the Boise Center today and see if any tickets are left for some of the great seminars being put on today or for the Storytellers event tonight featuring some great personalities like Steve Ranella of Meat Eater fame. Something else we're doing while we're here is checking out some of the wonderful outdoors opportunities around here. We visited the Morley Nelson Snake River Birds of Prey National Conservation Area, which offers incredible views and the chance to see prairie falcons in abundance and on the prowl for their next meal. Speaking of falcons, you've got to make time to check out the World Birds of Prey Center, operated by the Peregrine Fund, and the adjacent building that houses the Archives of Falconry. Both are amazing places that we'll be letting folks know about on our regional show, Northwestern Outdoors Radio, in the weeks ahead. And that doesn't include some of the other great things you can do around here. There's ponds where you can trout fish in Nampa. There's the Boise River, which offers great fishing too. The Owyhee River along the border of Idaho and Oregon's not far away, and there's trout to be had there. And don't forget the Deer Flat National Wildlife Refuge, which has bass fishing in the spring and duck hunting in the fall. Let's get back to America Outdoors Radio, though, and away from Boise, at least for a second, because we're really excited about our lineup of guests and stories waiting for you today. We're going to start off with some very good news for hunters and conservationists coming at us from the state of Arizona. After that, we'll get a chance to talk to our friend Larry McQuarrie, also known as Captain Mac, who is the co-owner of Sportsman's Cove Lodge in Southeast Alaska. There are some significant restrictions being enacted this year by Alaska State Fisheries managers for Chinook salmon, and Captain Mac will let you know where those are taking place. Never fear, though, the fishing for salmon, halibut, and more promises to be very good this summer out of Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and they've even got a few stray openings left for you. After we chat with Captain Mac, we'll get to talk to John Cleveland. He's an outdoors writer and the marketing director for Eppinger Manufacturing out of Dearborn, Michigan. Eppinger is the company that makes the famous Daredevil spoon that has been catching everything from trout to steelhead to pike for over 100 years. John will tell you about the new website for the company found at daredevil.com and about some of the recommended lodges across Alaska and Canada they highlight on this website. Not only that, but John will tell you about his experiences at some of these lodges and the Eppinger lure he used for success while he was at each one. We'll slow down our adventures for a few moments to bring you some outdoors news about wolves acting out in California and about a new solution discovered in Missouri that holds some real promise towards solving the Asian carp problem plaguing many of our waterways. Last but not least, outdoors writer and television personality Scott Haugen will join us to help you find some shed antlers this spring. No, it's not too late for shed antler hunting this year. As a matter of fact, with the winter much of the nation has endured so far this year, we're just getting started. And now, let's head to Arizona. Next on America Outdoors Radio, we've got some really good news to share for you hunters out there. As you may recall, last October we had Jim Unmacht on board. He's the executive director for Arizona Sportsman for Wildlife Conservation, and he told us all about an effort by the Humane Society of the United States to get a ballot initiative going that would outlaw cougar hunting and bobcat hunting in the state of Arizona. Now, these animals are not endangered in any way in Arizona. It was just pure and simple an anti-hunting initiative. Jim is back, and he's got some news about what happened to that initiative. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
So, what happened to the Humane Society's effort to get this initiative on the ballot for later this year?
Well, since October, they have been utilizing volunteers to secure signatures. And they had been concentrating at pet shows and parades and things of that sort. And in the meantime, sportsmen and women and a number of our member organizations mobilized a decline to sign campaign. And we started educating the public alongside their signature gatherers and informing people that, you know, what they were pulling was a ruse and unnecessary and unneeded, and they were taking away game management authority from the Arizona Game and Fish Department. That went on for a number of months, and they failed.
So they have literally tucked their tail between their legs. They're trotting out of Arizona, and they've abandoned their efforts to get this initiative on the ballot this year, haven't they?
That is correct. They have thrown in the towel on this, and the significant part of that is that over the past 25 years, HSUS has been involved with 81 ballot initiatives across the country. They have never quit until now. And the fascinating part is their excuses as to why they ended up quitting. No mention of the effort that sportsmen and women put out there, nor our organization or others. They blame it on bad legislation. There were two bills signed last year for strict compliance on signature gathering and also how signature gatherers were compensated. They said they didn't have enough money, even though they have millions of dollars in their bank accounts. And they mentioned unnamed national issues, but they didn't talk about the Better Business Bureau downgrade, the loss of fundraising dollars, which is estimated right now at about 43% of normal for them, nor the sexual harassment allegations that resulted in Wayne Pacelli's resignation from their chairmanship.
You know, Jim, give them some credit. I can see why they wouldn't want to mention those things. Any of those would just be a tad bit embarrassing. All right. Bottom line, great news for hunters that a frivolous ballot initiative has gone away that would have outlawed hunting for cougars and bobcats. And folks, hunting is conservation, and hunting is a way to manage these populations, and it needs to be done in Arizona and in other states as well. But here's the next question, though. You know, your group ought to be patting themselves on the back, but it's never over with groups like the Humane Society of the United States, is it?
No, it isn't. They are already making veiled threats that they'll be back one day. They're dealing with a force that's going to gain momentum, and if they do come back, they're going to have a formidable opponent again. We are forming an organization called Conserve and Protect Arizona. It's a 501c4, and the emphasis is going to be on educating the Arizona voters that don't hunt and fish, and inform them of the facts and the critical nature and role that the Arizona Game and Fish Department plays in managing all wildlife. And we are also going to work on other remedies to make it tougher for them coming back here.
Jim, thank you so much again for the efforts of you and everybody else from Arizona Sportsmen for Wildlife Conservation. Folks, if you want to find out more about this group and get in with them now before the next round happens, the website to go to is azsfwc.org. That's azsfwc.org for the Arizona Sportsmen for Wildlife Conservation, standing up to protect your hunting rights in the state of Arizona. Thanks again for sharing this great news with us again today, Jim, on America Outdoors Radio.
Awesome. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to our show. It's Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and many anglers who have been there will tell you it really is Alaska's best lodge. Sportsman's Cove Lodge sits on a salmon highway full of kings and silvers. There's halibut, too, and there are some really big ones. Finally, with decades of experience taking care of customers, Sportsman's Cove Lodge knows how to treat you right from start to finish. Ready to book your trip of a lifetime? Then call Sportsman's Cove Lodge at 800-962-7889. That's 800-962-7889. 800-962-7889 for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
Backcountry Hunters and Anglers 7th Annual Rendezvous is coming to Boise, Idaho. Join fellow sportsmen and women from across North America for an event-filled weekend at the Boise Center, April 12th through the 14th. For tickets, go to backcountryhunters.org.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products were designed for you. Fish Fighter products are used by the top fishing guides in the Northwest because they know having the right equipment is imperative to a successful fishing trip. With our Relentless Series tackle jays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, you'll spend more time chasing the fish, not your gear. Designed and built right here in the USA. Gear up at fishfighterproducts.com.
Our next conversation on America Outdoors Radio, we're taking you to Alaska. That's where Larry Captain Mac McQuarrie is coming at us from today at Sportsman's Cove Lodge on Prince of Wales Island. Captain Mac, welcome to the show.
Good morning, John. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, but I've got to tell you, I'm a little bit worried. I've been getting some emails from the state of Alaska about low abundance of Chinook salmon and restrictions in Southeast Alaska waters. What's going on here?
Yeah, there's a big concern about some of the transboundary rivers. That's the rivers that go up into Canada. They're big king salmon producers. Canada is also very concerned about what's going on. Those rivers are not all that close to us. We're quite a ways away from them, so we haven't been impacted the way a lot of the areas have. But it's because of big rivers, big king salmon rivers like the Unic River behind Ketchikan, the Stikine River right at the mouth of Wrangell, and the Taku River up by Juneau. Those are the main ones. There's a few others that are concerned, but that's what's driving this whole thing right now.
So for those specific areas, have they just completely shut down fishing or just restricted it to one salmon?
There's areas around those rivers where it has been totally shut down. It's what they call no retention at all. We're not in any of those areas, so that no retention regulation will not affect us the way it will those areas. And those are areas that are fairly close to those rivers, those impacted rivers. And fortunately for us, we're not in real close proximity to those areas. So we don't have a no retention order at all during our season, during our operating time. So we haven't been impacted in that way.
So what is the limit going to be for your clients this season for both Chinook and for coho salmon?
Okay, for Chinook, it's going to be one king salmon, 28 inches or greater per day, and then one for an annual limit. And that's down from three last year and I believe six the previous year for an annual limit. So we are impacted in that way. Our annual limit is going to be one, but we do not have any no retention period so far. So we dodged the bullet in that way, but the annual limit's going to be one for non-residents.
Gotcha. So for non-residents, you only get to keep one king salmon, but what about those silvers? What about the coho?
Lots of silvers. Doesn't seem to be any issue with silvers this year. We'll have a 6 silver limit and no annual limit on silvers, and 6 pink salmon, no annual limit on pinks, and 6 chum salmon, and no annual limit on chums. So there'll be lots of other salmon going on. And chum salmon are coming to be more and more online for us. We're starting to catch more of them. There's a huge production of chum salmon for the commercial fisheries, and we get the benefit of that. And chum salmon get short shrift, but they are great fighters, and they are great eating. And when they're bright and beautiful in the ocean, when we get them, they are gorgeous fish, absolutely gorgeous fish. But people are used to downplaying the chums. They're a great fish, great sport fish, great eating, and there's becoming more and more of them accessible to us.
All right, so the bottom line, folks, is that if you head up to Alaska, you're going to still come back with plenty of salmon. Only one king salmon at Sportsman's Cove Lodge. In other areas, no salmon at all, but there's plenty of silvers, plenty of pinks, and yes, there's those hard-fighting chum salmon too, not to mention all the halibut and all the bottom fish you're going to catch. But sticking with salmon, sticking with Sportsman's Cove Lodge on Prince of Wales Island in Alaska, Mac, let's talk about the tactics your charter boat captains use to get these salmon on the boat. And does it differ from the Chinook to the coho?
Yeah, that's my favorite thing to talk about when it comes to our operation, because we drift mooch for all our salmon, and that way you're up close and personal with your own rod all day long, and we don't do any down riggering, we don't drag forward fenders and all that other stuff around in the water, and you don't sit and wait for a strike and rotate through with your friends on the boats to whoever gets the next strike. You're fishing your own rod, up close and personal, really light gear, 6-ounce spin sinker and a cut plug herring, and drifting the whole time. Great way to fish, and in my opinion, the only way to fish for salmon. And the only difference between king salmon and silvers coho is generally we'll be working the bottom with king salmon. We'll be fishing deeper. With a coho, we're working the top, 40, 60 feet. Same for pinks and chums. So we're just fishing deeper. And with our gear, you can get right to the bottom, right to the bottom while you're drifting without a whole bunch of weight and drop sinkers and all the rest of that, what I call garbage. It's a great way to fish.
I agree completely, and it kind of goes back to when I was a young man fishing out of Westport. That's the way we did it, and I'll be honest, I'm like you, Mac. I really enjoy fishing this way as opposed to the downrigger, because essentially with the downrigger, 9 times out of 10, that guide's going to take the rod out for you, set the hook for you, and essentially all you're doing is reeling the fish in. So to have that experience from bite to finish, I think, like you said, is a lot more personal. It's a lot more fulfilling of an experience that way.
You bet. And Westport's our history. That's where we came from almost 40 years ago now when Westport crashed. That's where we came from, and we brought that style of fishing with us. But of course, not that many people on a boat. We fish only 6 on our 37-footers and a crew of 2. So there's plenty of attention, and the guide-to-client ratio is only 3-1. Captains are out there running around with the deckhands. We're not pilot house captains. So it's a great way to fish. It's very personal service, and we're very proud of that way of fishing, because there's not many people up here that fish that way. We're kind of the oddballs.
Well, I can't wait to join your oddball crew and do this at the end of June. I'm looking forward to it. Folks, believe it or not, they've got a few onesies and twosies openings left for this season. Just a few. I mean, very few. So if you're as excited about Fishing Alaska as I am, and you want to go to Sportsman's Cove Lodge, where customer service is first and foremost, here's the website to go to. It's alaskasbestlodge.com. There's an S there with Alaska. alaskasbestlodge.com. Check out the website. Give them a call and see if you can get to Alaska this summer and get in on not only the salmon fishing, but the halibut fishing and the rockfish fishing and the great fun you're going to have with this Alaska adventure. Mac, always a pleasure to talk to you. Looking forward to doing it again soon.
Thanks, John. My pleasure. You take care.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products were designed for you. We make products for the relentless fishermen who know that big fish are caught by those who put in the work. With our Relentless Series tackle trays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, you'll spend more time chasing the fish, not your gear. Designed and built right here in the USA, Fish Fighter products won't let you down. Gear up at fishfighterproducts.com.
There's a place where the fishing is year-round, where the sun shines 300 days a year. The wineries and breweries are right downtown. The hiking and cycling offer spectacular views you just don't get in the big cities. Fortunately, the place is real and vibrant. It's the Dalles, Oregon, just 90 short minutes from Portland, along the gorgeous Columbia River, where the adventures are limited only by your imagination. Find out more at explorethedalles.com.
You're back with America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. With us here today is John Cleveland. He's with Eppinger Manufacturing. They make the iconic Daredevil lure. They're located in Dearborn, Michigan. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you, John. Good morning.
Well, good morning to you. You've got a brand new website. It's at daredevil.com. Folks, that's spelled D-A-R, no E there, D-E-V-L-E.com. And daredevil.com is really got a lot there. Not just what you'd expect on a standard website in terms of pages with product information and how to buy your products, but also you've integrated social media like Facebook and Instagram. Very well done.
Well, thank you.
So one other thing that I love about this website is you've got recommended lodges. You've got a whole page dedicated to these lodges, a map of where to find them. And I thought what you and I would do, because I know you've been to a number of these places, is talk about some of the lodges you've got on the website and the one Eppinger lure that worked really well while you were there. So batter up. Why don't you give me your first recommended lodge, the trip you had there, encapsulated into like a minute, and the lure you used for success?
I'll do my best, John. Well, I think the first lodge that I'd like to talk about was my last trip. Last August, I took my youngest son to Alaskan Wilderness Outfitting Company. They have a lodge on the Sayu River between Cordova and Yucatan on the Lost Coast, and we fished for silver salmon. And they have one of the most incredible silver salmon runs in all of Alaska, some of the biggest salmon and also some of the largest quantities of salmon that come up there starting in mid-August. And most of that trip we fished with Eppinger Daredevil Devil Dog Spoons. They're 3/4 of an ounce, single hooks, and they did just an awesome job of triggering strikes on these silvers. They were fresh out of the sea. We were fishing, well, within a mile and a half of the outlet of the river into the Gulf of Alaska. So these fish were bright silver. They were hot. They were aggressive. And the Devil Dog Spoons were just absolutely great on those fish. And fortunately, we introduced the spoons to the lodge owners and the managers, and hopefully they're going to be carrying those spoons up at the lodge on the Sayo River this year.
That sounds like a fantastic trip, John. So let's maybe go to Canada. You've got a whole bunch of lodges up there. Any that stick out for you and any lures that worked up there?
Well, one of my favorites is a place called Lac Lamart in the Northwest Territories. And their forte is big pike and big lake trout. The lake itself is only about 65 feet deep, which is fairly shallow for one of those big glacier lakes. And yet it stays cold, very cold, all year. And it's full of pike in the massive amounts of 10 to 15-pound pike.
Wow.
And all the last time I was up there, I think we caught something like 48 fish over 40 inches. One that was 46. We got a line class tippet on a fly rod up there. The spoons up there we used mostly were the Husky Devils for the lake trout and the 1 ounce Daredevil, five of diamonds, and a little spoon we call the Gray Ghost, which is a black pearl. Just a killer job of, again, triggering strikes and the aggressive pike and the lake trout up there. And the staff up there are phenomenal. The lodge only holds 12 people. The lake is 1,000 square miles. So once you get out in the water, you don't see anybody all day till you come back to the lodge. And it's just a beautiful place with tons of big fish. Definitely recommend that one. A couple stories on the website that I wrote that people can look up as well.
Oh, that sounds absolutely fantastic. So, again, what's the name of that particular place?
It's called Lac Lamart, LacLamartre, Lac Lamart, in the Northwest Territories.
I've only been to the Northwest Territories once, had a similar experience, and absolutely fell in love with the pike and lake trout fishing. I assume you were using different lures for both fish and certainly different techniques. Why don't you break that down a little bit more?
Yeah, most of the lake trout fishing is done by trolling, and that lake, again, is relatively shallow and quite cold, so the lake trout actually don't go particularly deep, which they often do in the lakes further south. So we would troll the big Husky Devils that are 3 1/4 ounces for lake trout. Usually during the middle of the day is when we would do the lake trout fishing. Early in the morning, later in the afternoon, we would put on smaller spoons like the 1 ounce Daredevil and then cast into the shallower bays and drop-offs for pike. And that's pretty much the techniques that we used.
All right, we've got time. So again, folks, you're listening to America Outdoors Radio. We're talking to John Cleveland. He's with Eppinger Manufacturing out of Dearborn, Michigan, and they make the iconic Daredevil spoon. They've got a brand new website, too, that you'll find at daredevil.com. That's spelled daredevle.com. Let's talk about another lodge you have highlighted on your website and another Daredevil spoon or Eppinger product that worked well for you.
Yeah, this one's a bit of a sleeper. It's a lake and lodge called Cree Lake Lodge in northern Saskatchewan. And I was there last September, and I wrote a story on the pike fishing up there and the lake trout fishing up there, and it was the first time I've been to a lodge where I didn't want to turn the story in for another year because I didn't want to tell people until I'd had a chance to go back again and fish it for myself. Cree Lake is just full of some of the biggest, heftiest pike I've ever caught. It's one of those places that's been kind of off the radar for quite a few years. There's two small lodges on the lake. The lodge that we went to is called Cree Lake Lodge, run by a fellow named Brandon Schreiber. And they have just a very unique strain of both lake trout and pike up there. They're just big, brutish fish. And there are a lot of them. The fishing there is good June right through September. Really doesn't have an off season. And up there, I was primarily using actually a thing we call a copycat spoon, which is a 2 ounce spoon that got me down. The fish in September were down about 10, 12 feet. So we had to put a little heftier spoon on to get down in the water column. So I use that 2 ounce copycat spoon as well as a 2 ounce Husky Devil. And they just did a slick job. I mean, my first cast with a Husky Junior, the 2 ounce spoon, I hooked up with a 49-inch pike.
Oh my gosh!
And that's the way the trip continued for the next 5 days. The eight of us caught 150, I think 349-inch fish, several 48s, 46s, tons of 44s, 43-inch fish. It's no longer off the radar, because I've just told you about it.
Oh.
And your listeners. But they deserve to have the business. It's a great fishery. They take really good care of it. It's all catch and release. Just an awesome experience.
All right. Well, you've certainly whetted our listeners' appetite with some great fishing experiences in Alaska and the Northwest Territories and Saskatchewan. And folks, there's many, many more lodges that are featured on this website too. The website, again, the brand new website for Eppinger Manufacturing, makers of the Daredevil Spoon and other lures, is daredevil.com. I'm going to spell that one more time. daredevle.com. That's daredevil.com, spelled daredevle.com. Check it out. Buy some lures that are going to work at these lodges, and they're going to work great wherever you fish for trout and pike and walleye and other species as well. John, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks for sharing these stories with us today on America Outdoors Radio.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
I'd like to welcome a new sponsor to our show. It's Sportsman's Cove Lodge, and many anglers who have been there will tell you it really is Alaska's best lodge. Sportsman's Cove Lodge sits on a salmon highway full of kings and silvers. There's halibut too, and there are some really big ones. Finally, with decades of experience taking care of customers, Sportsman's Cove Lodge knows how to treat you right from start to finish. Ready to book your trip of a lifetime? Then call Sportsman's Cove Lodge at 800-962-7889. That's 800-962-7889. 800-962-7889 for Sportsman's Cove Lodge.
If you consider yourself a hardcore fisherman who takes pride in being the first person on the water and the last one off, Fish Fighter products were designed for you. We make products for the relentless fishermen who know that big fish are caught by those who put in the work. With our Relentless Series tackle trays, rocket launcher rod racks, and breakaway river anchors, you'll spend more time chasing the fish, not your gear. Designed and built right here in the USA, Fish Fighter products won't let you down. Gear up at fishfighterproducts.com.
Are you looking to reel in the marketing opportunity of a lifetime? Then set the hook, because we've got it right here for you. America Outdoors Radio has sponsorships available, and we offer affordable platforms to reach thousands of listeners interested in fishing, hunting, and the outdoors. Find out more by contacting John Cruz through his website at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. That's AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com. Hurry, though. If you wait too long, the big opportunity might just get away. AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com.
It doesn't matter what sort of adventure you're after, whether it's big game deep in the backcountry, a day of fishing out on the water, or an overnight in the great outdoors. At Sportsman's Warehouse, we've got the gear in here for what you need out there. Gear up for your next adventure at one of the Sportsman's Warehouse stores or shop online. Sportsman's Warehouse, America's premier outfitter.
Ty Stubblefield here from Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, reminding you of our 7th Annual North American Rendezvous, April 12th through the 14th in Boise, Idaho. Join us and special guests Randy Newberg, Ryan Callahan, Remy Warren, and Stephen Ranella for an event-filled weekend featuring backcountry seminars, our beers, bands, and public lands brewfest, and the world-famous storytelling night. All going on at the Boise Center, April 12th through the 14th. Get your tickets at backcountryhunters.org.
Tillamook Bay is considered the greatest fishing experience on the West Coast for fall Chinook salmon and winter steelhead, and Dungeness crab is plentiful. Five major rivers connect with the ocean on the Tillamook coast. It's not unusual to snag a 40 to 50 pounder. Go out in a boat or stand on a riverbank or dock. Try fishing from a dory boat and experience the thrill of a beach launch and landing. Use spinners, sand shrimp, or salmon eggs to lure them. The fish will line up to grab your bait. Go to TillamookCoast.com/fishing to find guides and places to stay.
Looking for that extra something that will get more salmon or trout into your boat? Then check out the Double D Dodger from Max Lure. The Double D does double duty and helps you catch more fish. The Double D's flash attracts lunkers, and the Dodger's patented stop-start action works wonders to get those fish biting. The Double D does even more by acting as a side planer to get your bait away from the boat where the fish are more likely to be and more apt to strike. The Double D Dodger. It's the Dodger you've got to have from Max Lure.
Welcome back to America Outdoors Radio. I'm John Cruz. We've got some outdoors news, and it's brought to you by Fish Fighter Products, the group of men and women from Mountain Home, Idaho, who love to make your life easier on the water with innovative inventions like the Quick Mount that allows you to change out your bow-mounted anchor nest for a bow-mounted Minkola trolling motor in a matter of seconds. Find out more at fishfighterproducts.com. We'll start things off with a story from the Outdoor News Daily, where we learn of a success story regarding the long-running battle against the spread of Asian carp in our U.S. waters. In a recent fishing exercise at Crevecoeur Lake in Maryland Heights, Missouri, biologists from multiple agencies worked to remove 47,000 Asian carp from the lake. The lake is primarily infested with silver carp. They're the ones that jump out of the water when agitated by the sound of a boat motor. With conventional fishing methods unable to efficiently capture thousands of these fish, the team of partners looked to China, the country of origin for silver carp, for inspiration. Now, these fish can swim 30 miles an hour. They can evade nets. They can evade fishing boats, as well as fishing hooks and lures. So this is really a tough problem to corral. However, in China, where these fish are farmed for nutrition, they've perfected a way to catch them. They do it with a method called fish herding, and it worked to perfection on 320-acre Crevecoeur Lake. Here's how it works. They use high-intensity sound, coupled with deep water electricity and floating nets. And then they slowly move the fish across the lake into a confined space. Once they get into that confined space, they form into a tight ball, and then they can be removed with nets and other equipment. And now, Crevecoeur Park Lake, which used to be full of silver carp, is largely free of them. And that gives room for sport fish like crappie a chance to regain their foothold in the lake and create a desirable fishery for anglers. Better still, recreational boaters will be able to enjoy the lake without the risk of jumping silver carp slapping them in the face. And it's anticipated the lessons learned here will allow other groups to successfully remove Asian carp in invaded waters throughout the Midwest. I love that little piece from Aaron Copland's Rodeo Suite. It's often associated with a long-running ad campaign promoting beef with the tagline, "It's what's for dinner." Well, it turns out beef isn't just for dinner for us humans. From the Outdoor Wire and Western Outdoor News, we learn about a rarely witnessed wolf attack on livestock from these predators in Northern California, a place where wolves have only recently expanded their range into. It all happened in California's Plumas County at a ranch near Taylorsville on Easter Sunday. Neighbors came outside at the sound of a crying calf and saw three wolves in the pasture with livestock from their neighbor's ranch. The bawling calf in question suffered severe wounds after being mauled by the wolves and had to be euthanized. GPS data confirmed the wolves involved were from the Lawson Pack. According to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, this is the fourth possible or confirmed attack on livestock by the Lawson Pack. However, little help will be coming to the rescue of the ranchers from the state of California. That's because there's no law, rule, or other mechanism about using lethal force to remove wolves who have developed a taste for livestock in California like there is in other states like Oregon and Washington. Nor is there any compensation offered to ranchers who lose livestock to wolves. Compensation is offered in the states of Washington and Oregon. All in all, it's bad news for livestock owners in the Golden State who have got to feel not only frustrated, but also like they've been left hanging out to dry by their own state who won't follow the lead of their neighboring West Coast states. Next, we're talking with an old friend on America Outdoors Radio. His name is Scott Haugen. He's a well-known outdoors television personality, and he's written a lot about the outdoors over the years. He's coming at us from Springfield, Oregon today, and the topic for this conversation is shed antler hunting. Welcome to the show, Scott.
Hey, thanks. Nice to be back.
Shed antler hunting. You know, we're into April. Is it too late for this year?
No, you know, that's a really good question. In fact, there are some places where you still can't hunt them in areas out west where there are migration routes. So, you know, depending on where you're listening to this broadcast from, make sure that you know state regulations. Some open up in March, some are, you know, mid-April, some might even be a little bit later than that. And that's just to protect the animals in the migration area. And if it's a place where they're having a bad winter, those animals might be hanging out there, you know, a little bit longer than usual. So those are usually posted in game regulations. They're usually signs that are posted in some of these areas as to when shed antler hunting will be open. So, you know, regardless of that, or if you're hunting on public land or private land anywhere else in the country, it's definitely not too late. In fact, it'll be going good here probably through the middle to the end of May. And really about the only thing that keeps shed hunting from, you know, being less productive is the tall green grass growth and you know, the blooming and growth of all the foliage that makes it more difficult.
So, Scott, I've got an ulterior motive for getting you on here. I am a horrible, I mean horrible, shed antler hunter. And so I'd like you to share some of the basic techniques you'd recommend to find more shed antlers, or in my case, to find even one shed antler this season.
Yeah, well, I imagine you're probably looking for blacktail sheds, so already you have 100 strikes against you. They're not roaming the open country like, you know, like a mule deer, and they're not, you know, sticking to the, you know, river bottoms or creek beds, you know, like a whitetail will or some of the farmland where it's easy to cover ground. You know, blacktails are very difficult to find just because of the diversity of habitat that they live in. You want to put yourself in a situation where you can succeed. And for us, it's when you go out and you're looking for shed, you know, you think about hunting these things in the animal's winter range. So you're looking at where these deer are wintering. If they're a migratory herd, you know, they're going to be in a different place, you know, now than they were in October or November. So you want to get in those winter grounds. If they're a secluded, you know, solitary animal like a black-tailed deer will be, or some wily whitetails, you'll probably be, you know, going through quite a bit of brush, hands and knees type of stuff. And you want to start hitting, you know, again, in a lot of the places out west, especially some of the south-facing slopes. I've found most of mine probably halfway to three-quarters of the way up on hillsides where these deer are sunning themselves this time of year, you know, when their antlers are dropping off. I've found sheds in January, February, you know, March, April, May, you know, June. So the biggest thing when it comes to success is putting yourself in a position where these animals are at so you can find them, or sure your dog can find them.
All right, well, Scott, one more question. We've only got a minute left. Tell me about your two dogs. They're hunting dogs, but you've trained them to hunt for shed antlers.
Yeah, yep, they're poodle pointers. They're very, you know, just like any versatile gun dog. They have gray noses, and they can do it all, from upland birds to waterfowl. I, you know, hunt turkeys with them in the fall as well, and, you know, they like doing the chuck or pheasant type of thing. But shed hunting is a big thing. I trained them when they were puppies, and, you know, we could talk about that for hours. If people want to see how I introduced antlers to these dogs as puppies, they can go to my website. It's just scotthaugen.com, and there's a tab on the right that has a link to some videos, puppy training videos. And it'll show you how I introduced it to them. And it's a little different deal than what a lot of people might think. It's, you know, not so much a chew toy. It's a, you know, fun event, but it's business when we get out there. And differentiating between the two is key to success.
All right. Well, that website, again, to find out more about training your dog for shed antler hunting is scotthaugen.com. That's H-A-U-G-E-N, scotthaugen.com. And by the way, folks, if you're looking for something to do Sunday morning, April 15th, go to the My ODFW Facebook page, because Scott is going to be live streaming the opening day of turkey season in the state of Oregon. That Facebook page, again, is My ODFW. That's the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife Facebook page. Scott, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, John. Take care.
We've got to wrap things up, because I've got to head back to the Backcountry Hunters and Anglers Annual Rendezvous to catch another great seminar. If you're looking for ways to listen to our show. Besides how you're listening to it now, you can catch us online Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on TalkAmericaRadio.us. It's the new voice of conservative talk radio. We're proud to be part of their lineup. You can also catch us anytime you want on our YouTube channel. You'll find that at Northwestern Outdoors, that's one word, or you can subscribe to America Outdoors Radio on Podbean. There's our website, of course, at AmericaOutdoorsRadio.com, which has previews of what's coming up in the week ahead, and our Facebook page at America Outdoors Radio, which often has information and news we just don't have time to share with you in the 1 hour we have available every week. Spring is here. I know it doesn't feel that way for many of you who are still seeing snow on the ground, but it is, trust me. And so is turkey hunting season, spring bear season in select states, and fishing season for trout, bass, salmon, and more. I hope you're blessed in the days ahead, and I hope you get out there too, because it's your country and your outdoors.